going on, y'all? Welcome back to the Cold Seat Podcast, where the seats are cold and the takes are hot. We've got Mock Draft Monday 2.0 coming at you guys today. Last week, Brett had the evens. I had the odds. But we're going to flip it this week. If you listened last week, we had a trade at the top. I think we're going to flip that, although it does seem more likely that the trade will happen at 4 like we did last weekend or last week. But I think we'll stick with flipping the trade this week like we talked about. Excited to the second mock. Not a lot has changed in the last, you know, week or so since we recorded the first one. I think it's been about 5 days. Recorded the last one a bit later, just after come off spring break, and then getting this one out on Monday. So a true mock draft Monday. Like I said, I don't know if a lot will change this week. I know we're going to try and do some different picks. Obviously, we're picking for different teams. That said, Brett is on the clock. Or do you have any? First of all, before we start the mock. Any big board, or I guess position ranking updates for you? I don't have any, but I figured I'd ask you if you had any before we start. No, cool.
No, right, I did not have any.
You're up on the clock at one with the Bears. If you want to, like I said, we're gonna try and be different. The top three guys may not be all that different. But after the top five, I think we'll try and be a little bit different this week and kind of play some different stuff out.
Yeah, for sure. Hope you're all having a good Monday or whenever you're listening to this, but looking forward to getting this one going. I know, like you said, similar format to last week, which is going to be one round, the first round, and going to try to, we had a couple things go down this past week. We're going to try to really like hone in on some fits for certain teams the closer we get to the draft. So first overall pick with the Bears, the pick that they got from Carolina in the trade last year. I'm going to go with Caleb Williams. I don't think it's going to change. We've been pretty sure of this for a while now, and I think with them trading Justin Fields to the Steelers, it only gets more, only seems more likely that, you know, Caleb ends up in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to change. I think this is similar to when we had Trevor Lawrence go at one, like that was never changing kind of for a while. I think the only thing that could happen is that the Commanders feel compelled enough to try and flop with the Bears, and that would require the Bears to feel comfortable enough with Drake or Jaden. And I think the Bears want Caleb. They did the whole move out of the first pick last year. There's a lot of people want to talk about it. Listen, we're in kind of the dry season of mock season. We're literally a month out tomorrow, a calendar month out tomorrow. I know 4 weeks technically isn't till on Thursday. Would that be the 28th? But tomorrow's the 24th or 25th. So today, if you guys listen to on Monday when it comes out, we're a month away from the draft. I think it's really just we're trying to spin up any kind of traction we can get. And I think we're all waiting for this Cardinals pick to happen, the Cardinals or Vikings trade to happen. Maybe the Chargers, like I said, but a trade up to the top five for the Vikings or maybe the Giants. But again, I don't know if we're trying to spin up. Hey, maybe the Commanders will go up. I don't think the Bears are going to move. I don't know if the Washington Commanders would give up the necessary capital to get the Bears to move out of one. So this can be chalk for probably the rest of the year. It'll be Caleb at one. Number two, I'm with the Commanders here at two. Shockingly, Dan Quinn said that it would be what was the word that he used like. It'd be likely to envision the Commanders taking a quarterback too. Thanks. Right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that, dog. As if we didn't know. And that's what that said. I know we went Daniels last week. I'm going to go Drake May. I'm going to stick to Drew to my board. I think the Commanders could easily take Drake. I just don't see how an NFL team watches tape and goes, yeah, we're going to take Daniels over May. Just because, like, I think Drake May's athleticism is being overlooked given how good of a runner Jaden is. I think Drake is very much kind of not being appreciated. I just don't think that people are adequately rating his athleticism in the way that he can run in comparison to Jaden. So I'm going to go with Drake May here too. The Commanders, I think they get the second best quarterback. He's a top six player for me. Kind of depends on the day. I flip-flop back and forth between May and Bowers at six and seven. I can't flip back and forth. I've got Drake May ahead of him just a little bit, giving positional value. But again, it's not by all that much. I flip flop back and forth all the time. But a top seven player for me. I'm going to stick true to my board, go with QB2, and the Commanders get a new fresh start at quarterback and a guy who's got a lot of room to get better, but he's already a really good prospect as is. The sky's the limit for him and that team.
For sure. Yeah, really, really talented player. And I think that'd be a good fit there in Washington. Obviously, a young team, a brand new culture, and I think he'd be able to fit in there and have a good impact. And I don't think anyone would be suddenly picking him to make the playoffs next season, but still would be a good pick there. I know they've made a ton of signings this offseason, some veteran additions to kind of help, groom their own talent that they drafted and they're about to draft. So I think they're headed in the right direction with the new front office and coaching staff, and I think that's a good pick there. And then with the Patriots here at three, they do have a good bit of needs, but I'm gonna stick with Jaden Daniels here. Like we said, probably quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and I think Jaden goes here. I think New England's just stuck with whatever one's left. I don't think they're gonna like JJ Moore. I haven't really heard anything from them on terms of who they like, how much, but. I'm going to go with Jaden here. I think him being a part of the top three is should be a lock. So, yeah, so they just end up with whoever's left.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking a quarterback, and I think they're probably comfortable enough with any of the two that are left of May and Daniels to just take whichever one. It's what they should do. There's been a lot of talk about, oh, we'll talk about it real quick. There's been a lot of talk about the Patriots. Oh, they should trade out. Oh, they should take Marvin. They should take Alt. Like, I mean, yeah, they need a lot of help, but also, can you name a team that picks, like, there's no team that picks in the top 10 taking a quarterback that's well-rounded. Especially in the top three, like you're picking at three for a reason. Like the Bears are in a little bit of a different position because they acquired this pick via a trade last year out of number one, and the Bears drafted well last year. They spent a bunch of money, and then they spent a bunch more money this year. So like the Bears are a little more unique in the fact that like they have a pretty well-rounded roster, and that they're gonna get because they still have a first-round pick this year. They have all their other picks basically in addition to one. So like, but still, the Bears have some work to do. The Commanders have nobody on defense. Like, yeah, they have some nice offensive pieces in Terry, and they just signed Austin Ekeler. They could be, honestly, a good pass catching back for them. They have Brian Robinson still. They've got just a slew of solid offensive pieces. They've got not a great offensive line. They've got really nobody set in stone at tight end. They have almost no one on defense because they traded everybody, and Emmanuel Forbes was their first round pick last year. Like, they're not a complete team. Just because they're picking a quarterback, like the Pats are in the same boat. Are they probably an objectively the worst roster in football? Yeah, but I mean that's they dug themselves that grave, and you can't pass on taking a quarterback. You can't get the roster better, and then you luck into 4 wins, and then you can't take a guy next year or the year after, right? Like you gotta get the quarterback in place first. And I don't even think that I think Jaden Drake, and even Caleb to an extent, like quarterbacks just don't come into the NFL and ball out right away. Like usually there's one in every class that does with like it was CJ last year. It was nobody the year before. I think you saw flashes from Trevor and honestly Mac Jones had a good rookie year and then the year before it was Herbert and Burrow. Like you usually see one quarterback per class on average come in and have a good rookie year and look like a top the billing of a top pick. And I think that even though those guys come in as highly touted prospects, like they still need time to adjust to the NFL. And Jaden, I think, needs a lot of time. I think Jaden's gonna have to adjust in certain ways that he can't take them as many hits. B, he's gotta be able to read a feel a little bit better, I think, sometimes, and take a few more risks when he needs to. And again, that's gonna take time. The Pats can wait. Like they have time for him to mature to be a good NFL quarterback for them to contend by the time that, the roster's there. So I think this notion that the Pats need to trade out or not take a quarterback because they're not talented enough is stupid. It's lazy. It's people just looking for some sort of, oh, we need another trade or we want to do this. Like that's dumb. Like let's just have the Pats take a quarterback. They're taking a quarterback. All three teams are sitting there. They're not moving. They're taking a quarterback, and it's going to be these three guys. It's number four. I know last week we did a trade at four, but the Vikings went up all the way up to four to get JJ McCarthy. I think this week we should flip it. Let's say the Cardinals are asking for too much. They want to get a third first round pick, and the Vikings just aren't going to do it.
What if the Giants wanted to move up, though?
I mean, we can do that if you want. If you want to have the Giants flop this week, we can. I just figure we have a different team picking twice. But yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of seeing about the Giants moving up and getting a quarterback. if I'm the Cardinals, though, like, I'd rather have 11 and 23 than 6 and like a 3. Like, I mean, and I think that's what Monty would do, because they could also go back up and get a receiver, because they'll have 3 first round picks this year. Like, they could also, they could trade 27 and a 4 for a 2, or 27 and whatever for, say, gosh, maybe the Bears want to move all the way down, or the Falcons want to move all the way down. They trade 27 and something, or 11 and something, to get up to, like we did last week, right? They've got a lot of capital to go up if they wanted to. And I think getting the extra first round pick, I mean, again, if we want to do that, we can. If the Cardinals are stubborn and say we don't want to take anyone but Malik or Marv, but we'll move out, that we can do that. You're probably giving them, if you're the Vikings, or sorry, if you're the Giants, you're probably looking at giving them, let's see, 70. I don't know if they give them 47, right? Like, I don't know if it's 47 that they give up, but it's probably 70. What was the deal when the Jets went to 3 with the Colts in 2018? Because that's what I was going to build this trade off of, when they took Darnold and the
A second.
it was a second, and it was 2 second round picks. It was in 2019, so it was 2 future twos. That was to go from 6 to 3. So I guess, yeah, maybe it's 42 because you're moving for quarterback, or 47.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can do that if you want. I don't want to come across as like, oh, I want to give the the Chargers Marv 2 weeks in a row. I don't want it to seem like that. But I mean, I'm cool with that if you want to do that. Listen, I won't complain. If we want to do the Giants trade here this week, and then we can do something different next week.
I think that with how many teams it seem like want to move up for quarterback, it'd be tough not to be going to 4,
I
because
agree.
I think everyone would be paranoid that someone would jump them.
I agree. The only way, and it's possible because Marv's that good, the only way that doesn't happen is if the Cardinals are like, no, like, we don't care what your offer is, we're taking Marv. Granted, I don't think they would do that. I think they've been reported to be shopping the pick since before the combine. They've taken calls. Austin Fort literally said this week that, like, the phone's ringing and we're gonna pick up, basically. Like, more or less said that this week. So I don't disagree. I think you've got to get to 4, and I think the Giants are motivated enough to get to 4, give up a 2. They could even give up a 3 next year, dude. Like, I wouldn't even bat an eye at that if they give up a 3 just to sweeten the deal. I don't know if it's 2 twos, because it's, you know what I mean? But I think they would give up a 3 next year, and then 47 to jump and get JJ. I just, man, it's hard for me to do that. Like, go from Daniel Jones to JJ McCarthy. Are they that different as prospects? And I'm not saying it's the right thing to do or not. Like, I just, as an outsider, as like someone just like observing, it's like, God, that's, you're basically going from one to, like, from A to, or from one to 1A, if that makes sense. Or like, from like an orange to a tangerine. Like, are you really changing that much? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that much different if we're going to use references like that. But yeah, we can do this if that's, because I do think this would happen. Like, this is very much, the Vikings would be pissed. And I do think this is why the Vikings would just, do they limit themselves, or do they give up the third at the extra third? No, let's do this week. Let's do this. Let's switch it up. Have the Cardinals pick at 6. Let's do this. Yeah.
Yeah, I just
All
think,
right.
like you said, we did the Vikings trade last week. Get this
This
one
to
going this
four,
week,
yeah.
and yeah, I think 47 and a third to go up two would be pretty fair.
Yep. So I'm gonna go with McCarthy here then. I mean, it's easy. They're going for a quarterback, taking McCarthy. Brett's on the clock with the Chargers, and we'll see if Brett makes the correct pick this week.
Yeah, I mean, Chargers have their pick of players outside of the quarterback position in this loaded draft class. I think at the end of the day, there's not really anywhere you can go wrong with a few different guys, but I think they're going to like Marvin Harrison Jr. the most. So I'll go with him at five.
Keeping it chalk this week. I mean, listen, so I was actually talking with people, a couple of people about this past week is like, it feels really chalky in the top seven right now. Like, I'll be honest, like, I'm going to go with Malik Nabers here. Okay. That's who they're going to like in Arizona. And it's just like, and then I feel like Joe Alt's going at seven. And I feel like it's going to be these seven players, no matter what, in the top seven. And we're a month out, and it's unsettling. That we're kind of at this point, right? It's interesting. We've never really like even. I feel like we kind of knew the players that it was going to be in 2021. We just didn't know which quarterback was going to be third between the three. Right. I think we knew it would be Lance about a few weeks out. Brent and I made $50 off that. We told that story on the pod before. We made $50 off that though. It's hilarious. It's unsettling. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be this way, but I think it speaks to how talented this class is. I think there is five truly elite blue chip all pro level prospects that are not quarterbacks in this class, being Marv, Malik, Rome, Alt, Bowers. Like, I genuinely think all those guys, like Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers, Joe Alt, all five of those guys, to me, are blue chip elite level prospects that are just, they're can't miss guys. Like, you could take any one of them in the top five and I'd go thumbs up, cool. Should you maybe have taken Marv over Rome or Marv over Malik? Sure. But I'm not going to fault you because you took like those guys are still incredibly talented players that are going to be stars in this league. So, that's kind of where I stand on that. I think that is what speaks. I think the chalkiness of it speaks to how talented this class is. And I think specifically when you add in the quarterbacks, it's like, man, you sit in the top nine picks, you're getting a great player. So I think Malik Nabers goes at six here. I think the Cardinals could be the team people are talking about who have Nabers over Marv. Like, that could be that. I mean, listen, the quote was, I've spoken to, I think, who, do you remember who it was? Was it Zerline? I think it was Zerline. Lance Zerline, yeah. Works in the NFL Network. The quote was, I've spoken to a team in the top five with a receiver need that has Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. So there's two teams. Like, it's unless you want to consider the Bears a wide receiver, which I don't. If you want to consider the Patriots, maybe, okay, fine. But like the real two teams talking about is the Cardinals and the Chargers. I mean, and I think the Chargers would like Marv more because Jim Harbaugh had to play that guy the last 3 years, and he lit him up. He lit him up. So I think it has to be the Cardinals. I don't know. I mean, it could be either one of them. I don't really know. Maybe it could be the Pats. Who knows? But right. I think this is where the Cardinals go at six with Malik. They get a blue chip receiver, guy who's super, super special. And like I said, it's chalky, but that's kind of what we're going to go with here. We'll get a little different coming up, though, for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been, like you said, pretty standard top few guys. You know, as we continue down the board with Nabers going to Arizona, I think makes a lot of sense. Them being able to trade down and still take a guy that's going to be wide receiver one for you after they lose Rondale Moore to the Falcons in a trade and they lose Marquise Brown to the Chiefs in free agency. I think that'd be a great fit there for Kyler. Obviously, they have a ton of needs, but they're picking again later. But number seven here, Tennessee Titans have a bunch of needs. Tackle, right guard, outside linebacker, and free safety are the main ones I got. I will say that I know I picked Joe Alt last week, but I feel like I just have to take him again this week. I feel like this is his ceiling based off the guys that went ahead of him or ahead of the Titans pick. I don't think that Alt really can go past the Titans. It just seems like a perfect fit, fills a need. I think the culture will be really solid there with Callahan, and His dad coaching the O-line. I think this should be a perfect fit all around. So it makes a ton of sense. And there's no reason not to make the pick. I know it'll become redundant, but it's just, it makes too much sense.
Listen, it's like I said, it's just the top seven seems kind of chalky, but again, this seems obvious, right? Alt goes here. And we've got basically the same order in the top seven last week, except we flopped Jaden and Drake, which I hate doing, but also like it's how it's going to be. I'm sitting here at eight with the Falcons, and I'll get a little spicy here. Choi Fatano coming off the board at eight. I think he, let's see, Jake Matthews is, gosh, how old is Jake Matthews now? He's 32. Had a phenomenal year last year. He's still an elite tackle. I don't know about anything. Yeah. He's still a great tackle, but he's 32. I think the priority for the Falcons, Kirk coming off an ACL or Achilles tear, it's got to be protect Kirk and get the run game going with Bijan and Algier. You take Fatani, you plug and play him at guard, and then whenever Jake Matthews retires, you can either slide him to left tackle or you've got a kick-ass all-pro guard. In Fatani. That's what I think. So this I wanted to get hot here for a reason. I wanted to get a little bit hot with this pick. We've been chalking the first seven. Let's get real hot. Let's go Fatanu here. I mean, he's far and away the best guard in the class. He's probably the best guard prospect we've had in the last few years, I think. Because I didn't consider Rashawn Slater a guard. I thought he was truly a tackle given like the elite tape. And I think Fatanu is a tackle too. I just think if you project Troy as a guard, he's an elite level guard. The same way Rashawn Slater, I guess, would have been an elite level guard. He comes in, he'd be an all pro as a guard too. I think Troy's the same way. I think ultimately this is where he can go. Top 15 player for me on my board. I don't think it's crazy hot. But again, I mean it is because we haven't seen him go this high in a lot of mocks. But you got to keep Kirk upright, and you got to give him a clean pocket, give him time to throw. You got a lot of weapons. I could have gone Rome Odunze here. I didn't. I thought about it, but I do think ultimately the Falcons can get better on the offensive line, play him at guard, and they keep that thing rolling.
Yeah, no, definitely a guy that you don't normally see in top 10s in mocks, but I mean, he's a great player, great talent, and I think going to the right situation in Atlanta where they do have a bunch of veteran experience, quality linemen, I think that would make a lot of sense. I know they can obviously use a versatile alignment, so they can figure out where they want to put him with the other guys that are already there. But I like it. I like the fit, and I think it'll work and help Kirk definitely in the long run with all the weapons that they have now. So number nine, Bears are on the board. Obviously took Caleb first overall. They do have a bunch of other needs, but I don't honestly think they want to. I know Rome's there. I don't know if they want to go with him here. I know last week we had them taking they took Dallas Turner. So I mean that would be a really good fit. I don't know if, like I said, with them trading for Keenan and already having DJ Moore, they could definitely take Rome. You know, let's go Rome. I'll go Rome here. Partially because we didn't do it last week, but also because I think Ryan Poles and those guys want to just give Caleb everything they can to maximize his potential, spending a first overall pick that they probably won't have for a really long time again. So this is a prime opportunity to build up that offense. I do really think they need to go defense, whether it's D-tackle or outside linebacker. You know, you could go Byron Murphy or Jazon Newton. It's a little bit early maybe for those guys, but I definitely would understand that pick. But I feel like with the way this class is and the way they want to build, I'm going to go Rome as their normally offense through the draft and defense, free agency and stuff. So they have some contracts that are going to be coming up on defense. So I think staying young on the offense is going to be big as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, they're going to run out the nastiest – 11 personnel in the league. I mean, it's going to be disgusting with Keenan, Rome, and DJ. And then you throw in Cole Kmet or Gerald Everett in there. I mean, dude, they could do some crazy stuff. And, yeah, listen, the Bears, talk about trying to set your quarterback up for success in year one. I love it, though. I think it's a great pick. Rome, like I said, Rome's my favorite player in the draft. So I love Rome going to Chicago, getting to be a great offense like that. I got the Jets here at 10. I know we did Bowers last week, and I'm thinking about doing it again. But for the sake of the exercise, I do want to at least talk about the fact that, like, they might still have to take a tackle here, because I don't think, like, I am positive that their tackles aren't playing 17 games, nor do I think they play over 20 collectively. I think I said that to Brett the other day. Is like, I don't think those guys play collectively 20 games together, like, at all. That said, I don't think they can pass on Brock Bowers here. The receiver room's still not that good. Rome's gone. They'd have taken Rome if he was there. I think they got to go Bowers. Receiver, tight end, however you want to play him, it's got to be him. So again, I know it's another same pick, but I think, listen, I don't think they're passing on him if he's there. They can go get a Jordan Morgan in round two, or they can go get a Kingsley Suamatia, a Blake Fisher later on, who's played a lot of reps. What's the guy from Washington's name? Roger Rosengarten, I think it's his last name.
Yeah.
He's had a great Senior Bowl, great combine. He's done really nice things. I also, frankly, if a guy like Graham Barton slides, wouldn't put it past that front office and regime to go get him and play him. Then you look at Christian Haynes. Just a guy who can, a guard who's big, physical, can play guard for him, like I said. So I think they're a team that could go be aggressive at the back end of – again, similarly when they had when they drafted Garrett at 10 and Sauce at 4, they went back up into the first round and got Jermaine Johnson because they wanted to get him. They could do that with tackle here. So I think we'll talk about that maybe later on. But I think they got to go Bowers. Just value, got to get a pass catcher other than Garrett Wilson in there. So I guess they got Mike Williams too. But again, I don't know if I can count on Mike to be fully healthy coming off an ACL tear. It's a lot to ask when you get Bowers, and you give Rodgers every single weapon in the book, and you let Saleh cook on the defensive end.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Like you said, they do have a couple tight ends, but they're not great talents, and Brock is a one-of-one guy in that room at that position. I think it'd be open a lot of things up for Aaron. Garrett obviously is special, but I think Garrett would love the pick as well, because it'd give him and Mike out wide a lot of opportunities, and just spread everything out, opening it up for the offense collectively. Pick 11 here with the Vikings. Obviously, we had him trading up to 4 last week, but I will say they do have some needs on the defense. They pick again at 23 with the pick they just got from Houston a couple weeks ago, so definitely think that there is a possibility that they could go quarterback at either of these picks. I think Penix. Yeah, I think it's a real option. I don't know if they want to take him at 11 or think they can get him at 23. I think this class is too talented, even outside of the quarterback room, to where I think they'll want to take a different player here and then go quarterback at 23.
That's fair.
So if a quarterback doesn't go, then I'll probably take Penix at 23. Looking at what they needed 11 outside of quarterback, their final receiver, they drafted Jordan Addison. He played pretty well for him. They could take another one, but not with a first round pick. Their O-line's looking pretty good. They could use a guard, but not at 11. Doesn't make a ton of sense. Defensive tackle.
Would you consider Jackson Powers Johnson here?
I don't know. It seems a little early for me. I don't know if they want to do that. Just seems a little bit early. So, unless they traded back, but I don't think anyone would really want to trade up. That would make a ton of sense for. And you look at the Rams, if they wanted Penix and they wanted to jump Denver, but outside of that, I don't really think Penix would fit that system all that well.
I think Bo Nix is better in LA. Greg, yeah. I don't know. Maybe not. I say that, but I don't know. I probably think that. I mean, they're all the same system as Minnesota, so I think Penix probably works just as fine too. I think you're right. I think they can get a quarterback at 23. I think you're right.
Yeah, assuming there's not any crazy trades, I think it's pretty realistic. But at 11, I think their IDL is good enough to where they don't need to take a tackle yet. And then corners, their other main need. You know, Byron Murphy is their really only their main corner. They took Andrew Booth a couple years ago in the second round. Hasn't quite panned out the way they thought it would, but he's still a good backup corner. Their safety room's fine with Harrison Smith is back, and then Cameron Bynum is their other safety. So I'm going to go a corner here so they can get their pick of who they want. And I think I'm going to go Terrion Arnold, corner from Alabama. My favorite corner in the class. I think he'll fit the system really well and just be able to be that outside corner for them that they need across from Byron Murphy.
No, I think that if you're going to go defense, it's probably where you go as corner. I think Terrion's probably the first corner off the board. Maybe Quinion Mitchell, just given how the NFL loves the testing and all that stuff with corners. I mean, it could still be DeJean, too. I don't know how NFL teams are going to feel about him. But if I was a GM, I'd take DeJean or Arnold first for sure. I've got a little bit of a gap between Quinion and Nate and those two guys. But, no, it's a solid pick. I like it a lot. I think the Broncos could still go corner here at 12. The question is, do they just take a quarterback here? They have no answer at quarterback right now.
Yep.
And the Broncos are why the Vikings should be strongly considering taking one at 11, right? Because if the Broncos pass here, I don't think anyone else is taking a quarterback until the Vikings, unless someone jumps them. I don't think the Rams are taking a quarterback this year, to be honest with you. I think they're going to let it ride one more year and then try and sign a vet maybe. I don't know. I just, man. Like, the Broncos don't really have a lot of picks anyways. They don't have a two.
They could trade out. I know last week we had him trading back with Cincinnati, but
yeah, I just
I don't know who would
I do.
Want to move
I
up
do
to
think
12.
They move out of this pick. I do. God, just they're so bad. They have zero quarterback figured like playing or anything figured out. I mean, right now their starting quarterback's Jarrett Stidham, and then they have Ben DiNucci on contract as a backup. This is tough. So is there a team that wants to get up here? Do you think there is?
I don't know. I mean, maybe the Cowboys.
For what, though?
But, like, for a tackle, if they really like one of the guys that's left, but I don't think they would make that move.
I don't think that's a Cowboys move. Man, this is hard. You're trying to pick teams that are aggressive in the draft. Would Ballard move up to get BTJ?
Yeah, I could see that.
Just flop, you know, go up and give up the two or a three. I'm just trying to think of like aggressive GMs. I mean, like Howie would move up, but like, what are they moving up for? They need a corner, but they're not. You know what I mean? Like they're. I don't know if they're taking a corner. That's the problem. I don't think Howie is investing in a corner in the first round ever.
No.
Do you think the Lions would go up? Because they're aggressive as hell. Would the Bills go up and get BTJ? The problem is, like, are you jumping the Raiders and the Saints for him? No. I don't know. I might just have – I just try to find – it takes you to tango. Could the Jags go up? What are the Jags going to go up for here? I don't know if Balky's doing that. I don't think Balky would. I think he'd move back. I don't think he'd move up.
Right.
Do the Seahawks want to go up and get Edge 1?
Yeah, we could do that.
Or we could have the Broncos sit here and take a corner. I'm not opposed to that either.
Either way, because I mean, if the Seahawks stay at 16, they probably can get Edge 2 at worst.
Probably get Edge 1 still, honestly. Yeah, I don't know if anyone's. I don't think anyone's calling them for 12, unless there's a team that really wants to get a tackle. But I'm not doing the Bengals trade again. I don't want to do that. Would the Dolphins move up?
I don't think so.
Let's just have a second pick then. I'm gonna have them take. I do think they would like Cooper DeJean though. I think this is a team that would, because they have already got a CB1 in Pat, and they can then move DeJean around weekly. So I think they take DeJean here at 12. I think they're a team that would like him a lot, and I hate that he goes to the Broncos.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense for them. If they see that the top four quarterbacks are gone, and they decide that they don't really love Penix or Nix, and they go in a different direction. I don't know if they want to move up with another pick or try to get another pick to take quarterback. It'd be kind of a lot, but at the end of the day, they go with DeJean, and I think this would be a great pick for them. In the same secondary with Pat Surtain, they lost Justin Simmons, so I think it makes a lot of sense for them. But moving on to 13, we have the Las Vegas Raiders. I know they have, I'm trying to think, they could go Brian Thomas Jr., but with Jacoby Myers, I don't know if they want to. I think it could be a possibility, but at the end of the day, like, what are they going to do at quarterback? Like, it's not going to make a huge difference given who their quarterback is.
You'd see him take an Olu. Or just a corner. I just don't know if we get three straight corners. You'd see him take an Olu.
Yeah, I think they could definitely take Olu.
Colton Miller's playing left tackle for them.
Well, yeah, I think Fuanga would make more sense.
Right, yeah, it's Fuanga then, yeah.
For them. I'm just trying to think between him, what are the other options really?
It's like him. Corner. They won't take a defensive line. They just pay Wilkins.
Yeah.
They're not taking a running back. I mean, quarterback, but not. I don't really think that's an option for them. They could. I mean, the talent in this class, I don't know. They can't take an edge player again. They can't. I think Tom Telesco would take either Quinion, which I think we had him do last week. No, we had him take Terrion last week.
I really like Talese to them.
I think it's Talese or it's Quinion. Two Senior Bowl guys, two elite level, high level prospects. I think it's one of those two guys that Telesco would like.
Yeah, let's go Talese, because I think at the end of the day, they want to get that O line right. Really, that roster as a whole, it still has a lot of holes on it. Like I said, another team that needs a quarterback with, they signed Gardner Minshew, but other than that, they don't have much outside Aiden O'Connell, who, played a little bit last year, really wasn't great. So, interesting situation for them. No one's talked about them moving up. Just in general, there hasn't really been a whole lot around them. So, maybe they shock everyone and move up. But I don't think that's going to happen just because there's so many teams. I mean, just we've talked about the Giants at 6, the Vikings at 11, Broncos, Raiders, 4 teams right there that could move up. So, only one can move up for the fourth quarterback, and I don't think it's going to be the Raiders. So I think going Talese Fuanga from Oregon State to play right tackle for him.
I like it. Like I said, we kind of talked through it a bunch. I think they need a right tackle, they need a corner, so I think that's a good fit there. Question for you. How do you think the Saints feel? I'm not even gonna ask. I'm gonna make the pick. Byron Murphy at 14. The Saints should take Olu. The Saints won't take Olu. They're gonna take defensive line. That's what they always do. They signed Chase Young. Now they need D tackle. Then they're gonna go back to back with him and Byron Murphy, Byron Murphy and Brian Brzee. I think, listen, he's the first D tackle off the board, I think, honestly. The Saints are also going to love him because he's a freak athlete, and they'll like him more than they'll like Johnny, plus the youth and all that stuff. So He just screams like Saints type of player. So I'm gonna go with Byron Murphy here to the New Orleans Saints at 14. Pretty easy pick for me, I think.
Yeah, about 14 or so is where we could see, you know, the first D tackle go. I think it makes a lot of sense for them, a team that normally prioritizes the front seven, especially the D line. I think it makes a lot of sense, and I just like the fit a lot too. You know, moving costs aren't going to be crazy, and then being able to learn from some vets there that are already have been there. Obviously, Cam Jordan, not exact, you know, replacement, kind of different roles, but still being able to learn from vets at your same position nonetheless is really valuable in this day and age, just with how the game is changing and stuff. And I think it makes a ton of sense there. 15, we do have the Indianapolis Colts. Didn't move up for anyone. I think, hold on, my mock is not loading. Looking at who they could take, they obviously still have a good bit of options. You could go with an edge of your choice, which I think would be a good spot. They could go corner after they lost out on the Jerry Sneed, who went to the Titans. I don't know what they would like better. I don't think they go offense. I think they're pretty well set on offense right now. I don't think they're going to go tackle. I don't think they're going receiver. Mm-mm. So it's pretty much between edge and corner for me.
I think it's corner.
Yeah, I mean, they probably like corner better just because it's a little more valuable position.
But
they
get edge one.
They could.
And Dallas is a freak, dude. You know. Listen, Ballard's going to get an absolute, a total freak athlete in Quinn Young over Dallas here, so.
Man.
We did Quinn Young last week.
We did Quinn Young last week?
Yeah, we did Quinn Young. I did Quinn Young last week to them.
Okay.
Up to you, though. You can go Quinn Young again if you want to. Like, either position works. No, I will say they have 46, and I think the corner depth at 46 is better than the edge depth at 46, if that makes a difference to you.
Yeah, I'll go Dallas.
Okay. I like that a lot. I mean, Ballard's going to love him, dude.
We're going to go Dallas Turner. Pretty much consensus edge one from Alabama. You know, big time, you know, obviously a valuable position, and then fills a need there. They need a edge rusher as well, so it makes a lot of sense. Corner, obviously another option, but they opt for edge this time around. We did corner last week. Either one is very reasonable, so.
I think this is where JPJ comes off the board. I know we did it last week, but I guess let's look at this. Could the Seahawks take anybody else here? Could they go verse?
They could. Yeah, I think it would be verse. Or
let's go JPJ. Let's go verse then. Yeah, let's go verse.
All right.
Let's go back-to-back edge, guys. Just to be a little bit different. It could very well happen. I think, let's go verse. Switch it up a little bit. And this is an edge guy. I don't love their edge room. We've been talking about their edge room for what feels like 3 years. Like, oh, they can take an edge. They should take an edge. And they don't because I don't know. They could take a center for sure. I think they're okay with what they have right now. And I think they are better off. I know Leonard Williams is technically like an edge, but he's really not. Boye Mafe has not lived up to the billing, I don't think, entirely. They kind of give it one more year. Now they're like Daryl Taylor is like a backup edge rusher. I know they have a Chinua Nwosu, so they just signed another contract. They have to get a more dominant edge presence, a physical player like Jared Verse. I think that's where they go here in favor of a center, which I mean, they can get a good center in round two as well. So I think it's a good center class. They can get one later.
Yeah, I like it. You know, Mike McDonald's going to want guys that can be productive off the edge. And I think saw it last year with two vets that he made look really good. Both had career years. So I think being able to get a guy in the first tier, Boye Mafe, he's played well. I think it'll make a lot of sense. just from a fit standpoint, from a value standpoint, makes a lot of sense for them. Jacksonville Jaguars here at 17 as we cross the halfway point of our one round mock. I think Jaguars, another team underwhelming last year. They lost Calvin Ridley. They signed Gabe Davis. Different skill sets. They still have Christian Kirk under contract for, I think, one more year. And then they also signed Devin Duvernay. I don't think they go BTJ here. I don't think it's as big of a need to be able to address it at 17. Looking at defense, could go a few different directions. I don't know if – I personally think they could put Ronald Darby in the slot, or Tyson Campbell's going to play outside regardless. I think Darby could go in the slot, and they could take Quinyon Mitchell here. I also think they could take – oh, no, that wouldn't make sense. Never mind. It's a weird spot here for them based off where they're picking and what they need. And I think what makes the most sense is Quinyon. I just don't think they go BTJ given that the skill set they already have.
They just paid two receivers. Like, do they really, are they going to draft one now?
Right.
I'll throw you a curveball because the Jags are a team that would reach. But if they just, no, they just, never mind. They just signed Darnell Savage. Never mind. Yeah, I mean, it's probably corner or guard for them.
Yeah, I know.
Corner or guard.
I know they just re-signed Ezra Cleveland, but Brandon Scherff's pretty old. I don't know if they would want, I guess, Graham Barton kind of be guard one. I don't think they would take JPJ and put him at guard.
I think it's probably corner here. I think you're right. I feel like it has to be. Unless they want to go with an edge rusher, which they could take lots of here.
But the way the board is, I don't think it'll make a ton of sense.
No, I don't disagree. I just, because we went corner last week, I'm just trying to play different stuff out. I do think it's corner, though. I think they're an easy team to kind of pick a position for and have it be corner.
Yeah. We'll go Quinyon here. Yeah. It's tough different to decide, you know, like who we think is going to go where. But it's tough to figure out what they're going to want versus what their actual needs are. So
they're a tough team they're a tough team front office to peg where they're going to pick sometimes. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Like, Balky would 100% reach for a player, but also, you know, who does he reach down the board for? I was thinking Tyler Newbin, but they just paid Darnell Savage, and they like Andre Sisco, so I don't really think they need to do that.
Right.
I got the Bengals here at 18. Oh, Lord, the Bengals, dude. Who's playing center for them?
I believe they still have a Karras.
Okay.
His contract might be up soon, though.
Yeah, I still have Ted Karras. I'm going to go with BTJ here. It's good value. Yeah. I don't think they need to take – I don't think they'll take a tackle with Orlando Brown on the roster. They just signed Trent Brown to play right tackle, so I think they go a receiver here. And it'll be BTJ because they got to replace T. They're going to lose Tyler Boyd. They're going to, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to keep T long term. I think they got other guys to pay and take care of. So in the day with BTJ here, and you get a natural T Higgins replacement. I know they could have taken AD to maybe go a little more skill set for skill set with like jump ball and all that stuff. But I think BTJ is just a better player. I think he profiles again similarly enough to T where it didn't really matter.
Yeah, and that leaves me with the Rams at 19 here. I mean, I think this is Olu. If he's there, I think it makes a lot of sense for them. I know they need a tackle. I don't know on the defensive side if I can see here. You could go Newbin if you wanted to, but I think they would wait on that. I honestly think Olu would make a lot of sense. They really like Kobe Turner.
Yeah, they do.
They like Steve Avila at center. Byron Jones played well for him. They drafted him last year. Yeah, just in terms of like first round positions, like you're not going to draft inside linebacker in the first.
Right,
this year. I really like Olu here.
Yeah, no, I think it works. What's their corner room look like?
Kobe Durant.
Yeah, Quentin Lake is their nickel. Yeah. And they got Darius Williams. They just signed him back to LA, actually, from Jacksonville. Yeah, but we can go Olu here for sure. I would lean corner, but I think Olu's it's good value. It's hard to pass up the value. I think they would take him. So I think you go with it.
For sure.
It's fine with me.
All right.
So Olu will go with the 1-19.
Yeah, we'll go Olu.
Okay. I like that. No, listen, it's good value. The Rams are gonna take advantage of the value there. Steelers up at 20. I mean, do they not take JPJ here? I think they kind of have to.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Who's playing center for them? I couldn't even say Nate Urbig. Yeah. We're going with JPJ. Easy. Because you know what, if you want to keep Urbig in the starting lineup, move him to guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Move him to guard.
I like that there. Olu goes 19, JVJ goes 20. So the Steelers have their center of the future, presumably. Dolphins at 21. Another interesting team. Few needs. I don't think it would necessarily pass up Nate Wiggins as they lost Xavien Howard. I think they would like that.
What about Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, you lose Christian Wilkins.
I think one of those two D tackle corner makes a lot of sense. What did we do last week for them?
Last week,
Patanu.
Yeah. So either one.
Either one is fine with me. It's up to you.
Let's go Newton. Just because I have him higher up, I think it'll
works for me.
Should be a little more value for him.
Right.
They're at 21 for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, Christian Wilkins replacement, yeah.
Yeah. Last week, we did not have Newton going in the first round. So this is his debut in the Colts seat mock draft machine.
There we go. I know we talked about him. But yeah, debut right. in the first round mock. Guy is at number 12 on my board. So he's a very talented player to me. He could move down a little bit. We'll see. I gotta keep doing some tape watch. I'm trying to get a couple of games in every week of certain players. So yeah, Johnny goes at 21. I like that a lot. Oh, the Eagles. What tackle did we have them take last week?
We had them taking
Mims. Yeah. How do they not take Mims, dude? How do they stare him in the face and not take him? Gosh. Do I have him take Nate Wiggins?
Maybe.
I just don't think Howie's taking a corner in round one, dude. I just don't think he's going to.
Yeah.
They build through the trenches and through. Let me look at the Eagles. Let me just take a look at the depth chart. Because, like, corner is just screaming at the, like, screaming in the face, like, hey, take a corner. But they just won't. They refuse.
Yeah.
They refuse to take a corner. Brought back CJ Gardner-Johnson, just signed Devontae Parker. Melton Williams, Son Reddick, Josh Sweat, signed Devin White, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter. I mean, how's this team not better? I'm sorry. How's this team not better?
I know.
Not sure. And they got Kenny Two Gloves in there. Come on, man. The GOAT. God. This team bothers me so much. They just won't take a corner. God. screw it. AD Mitchell. I don't know if they're gonna pay Devontae. So let's go AD Mitchell.
Yeah, I like that. I was thinking receiver as a possibility there for them because you know they have two really solid receivers, but they need another one in that offense. And I think Mitchell going there is around where his ceiling is probably gonna be. And it makes sense with him being wide receiver 5 off the board. Up next, we have Minnesota Vikings and the pick that they recently acquired from the Texans. And they acquired that from the Browns in the Deshaun Watson trade. A little bit interesting scenario here for them. We have them taking Terrion Arnold in the at pick 11, which looking back with Wiggins here, if we went to tackle, probably would have been a little better. But
whatever.
But, you know, I think just with the way it's looking currently for them, I'm going to go Michael Penix. We are going to have a fifth quarterback come off the board here. It's going to be Penix to the Vikings. I could be a great opportunity, a great fit for him to be able to show what he's got and just see what you have in him. You already had a first-round pick this year in Terrion Arnold, so it's not like you're wasting one, essentially, wasting a year with your top pick.
They are wasting it because like they didn't need to make that trade, but they did, so whatever.
Right.
They are wasting a pick, but whatever. Yeah, I get your point. I get your point. You're 100% right. They're not wasting all of their first round picks on a quarterback. They've spread their eggs out in a couple baskets, 100%.
Mm-hmm. I think Penix definitely has the tools to be successful at the next level. Incredible arm, lefty. Obviously playing with great receivers in Washington. That's going to carry over to Minnesota with Jefferson and Addison. And anyway, they didn't have to give up a ton to get pick 23. So it's not that bad in the end. Given that they weren't able to move up in this draft with their two firsts. So Terrion and Michael Penix, I think, is solid for them. And Penix becomes a third Husky taken in the first.
Yeah, he's a stud. There's a reason that team was so good, too. It's definitely early for Penix for me, but again, quarterback, so I'm not really going to nitpick the value all that much. We got the Dallas Cowboys up at 24. Cowboys probably need a right tackle. They signed Terrence Steele, and it really hadn't worked out well for them. They could also take a guard. I think they're going to take a tackle here. I just wonder which tackle, or do they go receiver? Because receiver is a position they would pick. I think they take a corner because Diggs is back.
All right.
I think they bring back Gilmore, you think?
I don't think so.
I just know if they're taking a corner this early, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think they would.
Okay. Let's do... So it's between Ladd, Troy, and then the tackles.
Yep.
Do we have him in the first round? Let me see this real quick. We didn't have him in the first round last week, did we? No, we did. Okay. Gosh. We had him taking Grant Barton last week. I think they go with similar. Let's go. Gosh, dude, Cowboys. They'll reach down the board for players, a little bit like they did it with Leighton Vander Esch. They took good value in 2020 with CD. They took good value in 2021 with Micah. They reached down the board and got Smith. They reached down the board last year and got Mozzie.
Got a lot of needs.
I know they do have a lot of needs because they're not gonna bring. They didn't bring anybody back. They're gonna take a receiver later. The receiver class is good enough to get one later. I think they'll see that because Will McClay is a really, really good, basically GM. I know Jerry's like the GM, but Will McClay is pretty much their GM. I think they go tackle here. Question is, which tackle they go? Latham, Mims, Guyton.
I feel like Mims. I feel like that would make a lot of sense for them.
Let's go Mims then. I like it. Athletic. Yeah, I like the athletic guys. He's a freak. So yeah, let's go Mims. That's good. That's a good pull.
Yeah, I mean, didn't have him fall into them last week, and I think it works out for him there with him being there. kind of the first tier two tackle, if you want to call it that, available there for them at 24, which is nice. I'm sure they're happy about that, wanting to honestly have as many good picks as possible, more than some other teams this year because of their lack of involvement in this year's free agency. But obviously still a lot of quality players out there still available in free agency. 25 here with the Packers. Their O-line is pretty poor across the board currently. You know, was good a few years ago with Lindsley and Bakhtiari and guys like that that were older, and now they're both gone. 25, I think we had him taking Guyton last week. This week, we have Latham and Barton and Guyton. I'm going to go Graham Barton here for them.
Yeah,
I think he'll be very versatile with the amount of needs they had on that have on that line. I think he'll be the most valuable offensive lineman pick for them.
You could put him at all five positions and he'd be an upgrade, I think. So I was thinking Barton too, because just the versatility he provides is so special. So I think they go Barton here for sure. I got the Bucks up at 26. The Bucks are interesting. But they could do a lot of different things, but I don't necessarily think it's because their roster's bad. I think it's just because they have decent players kind of everywhere. Traded Carlton Davis. I think corner's probably their best bet here.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna go corner. I'm gonna go with Wiggins here.
All right.
Go Wiggins.
So Wiggins finally comes off the board here at 26. A guy that could possibly go in the top 10. Falls here towards the back end of round one. It's in part what makes this so fun, is just so many guys that you don't really expect to be at certain spots. And it happens. And, you know, some teams capitalize on it, and other times there's a reason they fell, and some team takes them and doesn't work out for them. But Cardinals are up here, and I think this is a pretty easy pick in Leatu Latu. I really like the fit for him. I think Zaven Collins is in the last year of his deal coming up here. I know they spent like the 23rd pick on him. Was that 3 years ago?
Yeah.
I think they're going to go back this year and spend 27th on an edge with Latu. I think Latu is a guy that has a ton of production, and obviously the medicals are a concern, and he's not the best athlete, but I think it'll pan out. A guy that has solid pass rush package and is good enough in the run game. I think that can improve at the next level, but still just really good value here that I don't think they'll want to pass up.
Right. I don't know if we talked about it last week, because we had him taking Latu at 23 last week. With a first round pick at 6, you can take the gamble here on Latu's medicals. You can roll that dice. If that makes sense. So yeah, and that's really solid. Bills here at 28. God, the Bills could do a lot. It's just like, how do you not take receiver this early? But I think there's good they could take. I guess my point is, I think if you take Troy Franklin or Ladd McConkey here versus taking a guy, a Roman Wilson later, and you can trade up in the second round to get a better receiver if you really wanted to. But it's like Ricky Pearsall. I know they like Khalil Shakir. They signed Curtis Samuel, so they could use a bigger guy. So maybe like a Brendan Rice comes in later. I don't hate that for them at the back end of the second round. Like, I really don't. They could gamble on Xavier Leggett. I personally am not a huge fan of his. Take Keelan Coleman later. I think they can wait on receiver here. As much as it's an unpopular thing to do, I think they can wait. That said, if they're going to wait, I think there's a couple things they could do here. But I think it's got to be corner. I think it's got to be corner. I know they like their tackles. They have Spencer Brown still. They've got. They've still got, Deion Dawkins, they just brought him back. So I think this is going to be corner. They let go of Trey White. I don't love their corner. So I'm really cool with McKinstry here, a guy who really helped himself at his pro day. Going to be healthy week one. I said he was a boring tape watch because he was. No one threw at him. He's a great player. I think at 28, this is beyond surplus value for Kool-Aid. I think all five corners are top 20. They're top 22 players for me. So Kool-Aid's a stud, man. I think he's being overlooked, and I think this is a great value for them at 28. And it snipes the Lions here at 29 because they need a corner because they just had to cut Cam Sutton for putting it lightly, off the field issues, if you will.
Yeah, I'm definitely thinking corner here for the Lions. Like you said, they're pretty glad that they got Carlton Davis. I think they unforeseen stuff. Think they need to allocate their first towards a corner here again. Their offense is really, really good. You know, depth wise and talent wise, and I think this should be a defensive pick. And I don't think it's going to be edge. Slight possibility, but I think corner is now your main priority. And I think my top corner is TJ Tampa left. So we will go TJ Tampa
over Rakestraw.
Yeah.
I hear you. Do you think that the league takes Tampa over Rakestraw? That's my only question.
I don't know. I think teams will have him. You know, some will have one higher than the other.
We'll go,
but
TJ.
Yeah, just I don't know who they'll be like, who they will like more. So
that's cool, man. We can go TJ. All right, I'm up here with the Ravens. They got J.C. Latham on the board again. I know we did that last week. He just fits them so much better than Guyton does. Because he's just a mauler, you know what I mean? I want to take Troy Franklin here for you guys, but I know that tackle is such a bigger need. Like, you can take a receiver at 60 or 60 or yeah, 60, 62. Sorry.
Yeah, 62.
Yeah, it's got to be Latham. We know we're gonna double dip on this pick again, and we went chalk with both of our teams like we did last week, but. Listen, if Latham's there, I think they have to take him. He fits them so well. This is about where I would value Latham. He's not a top 30 player for me right now. He's actually at 31, ironically enough. So it's fine value for me. I don't really mind it. And they need a tackle. So right tackle specifically. So I think you go Latham here.
Yeah, I like it. I would have gone Latham or Guyton. I think either one would be fine. They have, you know, really good connection with both Alabama and Oklahoma. So either one would work out for him. Play him at right tackle and, you know, probably go left tackle in round one next year. So building up the trenches again as they lost three starters this offseason. I like the pick. Moving on to 31 here with San Francisco 49ers, who lost another Super Bowl this season. I think they won their first five and have since lost three in the last 11 seasons. Looking at their offense, still seems like a slight possibility Brandon Ayuk is traded. I don't know if he'll actually be traded. If he is, then I would go Troy Franklin. If he's not, then let's see.
They could take Rakestraw.
Yeah, they could. That would be a good fit there for them.
Who's their nickel?
Yamador Lenore.
Would you consider Mikey here? Because I would. Mikey, if I'm breaking corners, like objectively, Mikey comes in after Rakestraw at 7 for me. He's really good.
Could also think
I'm
Newton.
Sure they move off Lenore. Go ahead. Sorry.
Also thinking they could go Newbin. I don't know how much they like their safeties. I know Talon Hufunga is really solid. Yeah. He played great for him before injury, but I don't know if they would want to allocate a first towards a safety. It doesn't really seem like a San Francisco thing. They don't have a ton of needs. I mean, there's a reason they're picking late. They have a pretty good team. Their O-line is, for the most part, pretty solid. I don't know how they feel about Colton McKivitz at right tackle.
Right, yeah.
Because, like, Guyton could be an option. it's probably I'm gonna hold off on receiver now because they still have Ayuk as of now.
Right, right. And they could probably work something out with him because Debo did the whole thing, requested the trade, and then didn't get moved. Right. So I think they're working out with Ayuk.
They could, yeah. I'm honestly between Guyton, Corner, or Newbin. I just don't know how they feel about like their secondary, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I get that. I do. They probably can't go wrong. I just wouldn't take Newbin this early. Like I know.
Yeah.
Like Trevor's got him. Trevor Sikkema has him at what 20 something on his board right now. What is it? 25.
I know he's been talked about as a first round like possible guy that could go in the first. So that's why I'd say him here, just because he's that safety one, and safety is becoming a more valuable position.
You just think Lynch takes another safety when they have Fofana on the roster?
Right. Yeah.
That's my thought, at least. I just don't know if that's the pick.
I don't know how they feel about their O-linemen. So, obviously, Trent Williams, John Feliciano, who they just re-signed, right?
Yeah, they did.
So maybe they.
Let me check something a little real quick. Lenore gave up. Lenore actually had a pretty good year, I'm not going to lie. He gave up 860 yards, but that's really not that much. And he gave up 107 against who is this in week 10? The Jags. Gave up 2 touchdowns, 3 picks, 6 PBUs. 89 passer rating when targeted, 70% reception percentage, 11 yards per reception. I mean, Corner makes a lot of sense. Just do you maybe take Lassiter because he's a little more versatile than Mikey? Because Mikey's a slot. Mikey's a nickel, like he's a slot only.
Yeah.
But I think Mikey could also play some safety for you. I think you could play Mikey in a free safety role too. Like because they move their safeties all over, right? Like they move them all over. Who's their defensive coordinator this year, by the way? Who'd they hire? They promote because they fired. They didn't hire Brandon Staley, I'll tell you that.
Well, they hired him to be that Sorensen guy, I think. What was Nick Sorensen?
Steve Wilkes. No, they just fired Steve Wilkes. Oh. Nick Sorensen, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
new guy, like new DC. I don't know how much the system changes.
Right, right. I think it's going to be the same.
Being under Wilkes, so we'll go. Let's go Lassiter here.
Yeah, because he's more scheme versatile.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah, we'll go with him. I think he's my highest ranked guy remaining as well. So I think that'll make sense for him. And give San Fran another DB to kind of tool with and see what they want to do with certain guys and certain right. alignments. So that'll be the pick there at 31. We got one left for a cold seat mock 2.0.
I like Lassiter there. Like we talked about, it's scheme more versatile than what Mikey would give you. Rakestraw makes an outside corner. I think Lassiter is like could do both. I would take Rakestraw over him, but again. I think they're gonna go with a more versatile player in Lassiter. Also, better tackler than Rakestraw. That's the big one for me too. Like, he's a better tackler, not as good log speed, but they don't really care about like the athlete side of it with Corner. I think they care a lot more about like, hey, how do you play? Are you fit? It's similar with the Chiefs, right? Like, they prefer guys who can tackle, and they're not really worried about you getting run by in coverage. So I think that's good move there. I think it fits their trying to think of the right word. Their philosophy when they draft corners and just DBs in general. So I like that a ton for the Niners. Chiefs here at 32. I mean, it's Tyler Guyton. It's easy. It's Tyler Guyton. It has to be. I don't know how. I don't know what else they would do. Honestly, what did we do last week for him? Darius Robinson. I think they got to go tackle here. I know that the tackles were all gone last week when we were here. That's why we didn't take one. But if there are here, and they have to take a tackle. They've kind of put this off for a long time. They could take a receiver. I don't think they need to is the thing. They can wait. I honestly think they can wait. I think they gotta go. I know they have Juwan Taylor on the roster. Do you think they move Juwan Taylor to left tackle?
I don't know. I think if they bring in a tackle, they just see what works better and roll with that. I know Juwan had a down year for what they gave him in the offseason.
I'm not going to go Guyton. I'm going to throw a curveball. But this guy is an incredible athlete. And I think he may not be able to start right away, but I think he can get by in this offense. It's Kingsley Suamatia out of BYU. Former five-star prospect. He's a freak athlete. He's a left tackle. If they don't want to move Juwan, they keep him at right tackle. Right? They let listen, Suamatia probably takes his licks early, but it's not going to be worse than Juan Yamoris.
Yeah.
Right? I think they draft for the future. They usually do. They do tend to reach down the board a little bit. So I think I'm going to go with Kingsley Suamatia at 32 here and wrap up mock 2.0 with some new names. New names in the mock this week. I'm going to pull up mock 2.0 and 1.0 because we did a little something different for each one.
Right.
Like you said, I think we started with Johnny Newton wasn't on this one last week. And then we got Wanya Morris Rakestraw didn't get picked in this mock. We had him going at 27 last week. Again, it's just the corners are going to be different. I think that's a great outlook on that, honestly. You look at, let's see, we had Tampa didn't go, Lasser didn't go. Who didn't go this week that went last week? Ladd, Frazier, Rakestraw, Darius Robinson. Tyler Guyton makes it the second round, too, which, again, could very well happen. He's a right tackle. He's a young, I don't know if he's a young player, but he's had to play a lot of football. Athlete, you know, to the nth degree, but a lot to fix in his tape, so I think they could very well kind of take place. But I like the way that we finished that mock. I think Lasseter and Suamatia, two guys who aren't often seen in first-round mocks, but I know there's a lot of love for Suamatia in the NFL. With the profile that he provides. So I think a little more to work with from a positional kind of fit standpoint for the Chiefs. They don't have to tinker with moving a guy at 32. So I think they did with Suamatia. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's a good pick there for them. A guy that they think can work out at left tackle for him. Be able to keep Juwan at right tackle. Try to get a little more continuity in that line after they lost Andrew Wiley, and their line pretty much about stayed the same, looking to improve it here. Protect Mahomes a little bit better. He had an ankle injury last season. Want to keep that rehabbing and not re-aggravated at all. And I think this is a good way to do it by taking tackle at 32. I don't know if there's a whole lot left out there across the O-line in terms of free agents. But yeah, that'll do it for us. Like you said, a little bit different than last week. For the most part, same guys going, just different spots. We only had one trade this week. We had four last week. This week's trade, the Giants moved up from 6 to 4 to take J.J. McCarthy, giving up pick 47 and a third next year. About what we think the value would be, not a whole lot more than that, I think, just at the end of the day. You know, the value charts don't always even out because that doesn't take into account positional value. But yeah, I like it overall. There's obviously a lot of guys that are still for the taking on day two. And I think we're going to see a lot of teams once round one concludes, a lot of teams that are at least going to pick up the phone and try to get to the top of round two. I mean, we have Ladd McConkey, Tyler Guyton, Tyler Newbin, Peyton Wilson, Darius Robinson, you know, Javon Bowler is a versatile DB, Ennis Rakestraw, Jordan Morgan, who a lot of teams like, Troy Franklin, Braden Fisk, who had a great offseason. A lot of really talented players still available, obviously, on day two. And then some guys that you can also, you know, take and hope they pan out for you. Chris Jenkins is a really solid player. Jalen Polk's a receiver that didn't get wide receiver one touches maybe because of how loaded that team was, but could be a really, really good player at the next level. Keon Coleman, obviously. And there's still a lot of guys that were really productive as well. So that'll do it for us. We appreciate y'all tuning in. Hope y'all have a great week. And I know we're going to drop episode 73, I think it is, later this week for y'all, and then our mock next week. So we're officially back on schedule with mocks every Monday and normal episodes every Thursday or Friday. But yeah, thank y'all for tuning in. Follow us on X and Instagram at Cold Seat Podcast to stay up to date on a lot of the latest news, especially in the NFL. You know, not only to see the news, but to hear our thoughts on it and get a little bit of a different perspective. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see y'all in a few days.
See you guys then.